GalaxyCon Live is the place for you to hear about fandom from the celebrities who bring geek culture to life.
What is up, everybody? I'm Real Breaking Nay, a Pokemon content creator on YouTube. But today, I have the important task and job to introduce and to interview some fantastic people from the world of Pokemon. Of course, you all know we celebrated the 25th anniversary last year. Going into the 26th anniversary this year, let's get started. Let's bring some people to the virtual stage. First up, we got none other than Erica Schroeder.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Erica, how you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm doing great. I love your setup there. It looks
Thank
cozy.
Thank you. I got a little bit of DMG up here. That's a non sequitur having nothing to do with Pokemon. And if I go like this, family of Pokemon behind me.
In the background, we got the entire family.
I'll do this every few minutes. I'll go like this. Just so you can all see.
And you got the beautiful Sylveon there as well. So.
Oh, you saw Sylveon.
Yeah, it's my favorite evolution. You kidding me?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. Yeah.
Julio.
Well, welcome. I'm glad that you could be here. Let's go ahead and introduce the next person. We got Lisa Ortiz.
Hello.
Hey,
hi.
Lisa.
How's it going?
Doing
hi.
Great. Good. You look comfortable over there.
I am. I'm on my sofa, flanked by my kitties that you can't see. Aww. Chilling out. So... I'm doing.
Stay comfortable. And then last but not least, we have Sarah Natachini. And there's Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
You're breaking up just a little bit, but you're there now. You're good.
It was good earlier.
Yeah, I know. Internet.
Internet.
Technology, things like that, right? Your background's very open.
It's open. It's an open space.
Yeah. I love what you've done with the place.
Thank you so much. It's not my place. I'm borrowing a place.
Did you just walk into a random house and start?
Yeah.
That's what I assume.
I'm Ash Ketchum. Let me in.
This looks nice. This will do. Well, thank you all for being here. Of course, last year we celebrated the 25th anniversary of Pokemon. Mm-hmm. This year, we're less than a month away from going into the 26th anniversary of Pokemon, which is absolutely wild to even think about. I still feel like we're celebrating the 25th anniversary. But let's talk about real quick new episodes of Pokemon Master Journeys.
Yes.
Now went up on Netflix. Are you guys loving this series more than any past series that you've got to participate in?
I will say I'm going to jump in here first because I've been on the show in some version pretty much since the beginning seasons going on. This is my favorite. I am getting to see things that I am very excited about. There are people coming back who we haven't seen in a long time. It's people, I don't want to spoil the drop that just happened for people. We've got Sarah sort of like meeting all these other trainers that have come out, and she remembers all her moves. She remembers how to do all the different kinds of moves. That makes me really happy.
Ashley's getting a little smarter bit and smarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his memory is getting better.
It's a fun reunion, I'd say. You know, mm-hmm. It's really neat to you know, I guess I've been with the show now 20 years. So it's cool to see us visit some old faces. Mm-hmm. And the actors that come with that. It's exciting to like be like, oh my gosh, remember when? Mm-hmm. And look at that cat tail.
Yeah, sorry. My cat is excited also. Yeah. And what's been a real great gift is like what she was saying is that we were able to get a lot of people back who have been not been there for a while, but have been from past seasons. We've been able to get the original actors back, which has been a lot of fun.
I think the fans really love it in the aspect of that you do get to revisit a lot of familiar faces, and you know they're hopping around to a bunch of different regions as well, which is something we haven't really seen a whole lot in past seasons of Pokemon. So I hope that's kind of something that continues moving forward with the anime, because I think it's nice to see all of that. So obviously we can't say anything, but
we can smile.
Right? You can smile. That might be the only smile we get from Sarah the entire time. Well, let's go ahead and jump into some fan questions. We got a bunch of them, so I want to try to get to as many as possible. First up, we got Brandon. How has voice acting changed over the years? Are there things you would change if you could? Whoever wants to answer first.
Well, I'll answer that specifically to Pokemon, and Lisa and Sarah, you guys can chime in on this too. But when the show first started, well, they called it Pokemon and not Pokemon. And so that changed. And then the Pokemon were less connected to their emotions, I would say. And there was more about keeping in line with the Japanese and the inflection and less about the emotional life within the Pokemon. So that evolved, and that started evolving, I don't know, around when, do you think, Lisa?
I think a lot of that, and I will say we did not speak for the Pokemon company, so we're talking about our experiences here. But like, it was when I started, a lot of people would pronounce it Pokemon, or we would Pokemon. There wasn't a standardized thing. And I know that that definitely, they started to standardize probably like maybe 10 years ago, we started getting all that. We started really, they didn't know it was going to last this long. So when they first had everything there, they, you know, people came in, they were watching it, and they were doing with it. My cat is attacking me underneath here, so I apologize, all of you. It is right here. And every time I move my hand, it like lifts its head up to do that. So if I seem distracted, it's a cat. But yeah, no, they did. They started really, really standardizing and really, really looking at that. I think a lot of times we moved to Duart, and probably about maybe like 10 years ago. Sarah, when did you notice a change, or do you feel like it started standardizing when you came in? You know, because you've been doing this like forever as well.
I've been doing it 15 years since I started. I mean, my performance has changed a little bit. I mostly hear from other people, but now that I like look back and I'm like, what are they talking about? I notice it too. He's definitely gotten a lot more natural, and more natural to me vocally, just the vocal quality of it has gotten more natural to me. And I feel like the performance has also gotten a little bit snarkier and a little bit more me.
And that's kind of more of the voiceover experience in general has gotten more naturalistic. Authenticity and casting is a big thing. So that's one of the major changes. And I think Pokemon took that journey around the same time that everyone else was taking that same journey.
Yeah, I like to say that I led the charge on that, but you know.
Yeah, and I do think that I will say, like, I think it got more natural lately, especially like you're saying it's been over the course of time. So if you look at those earlier episodes, it is sort of a different style of coming in, and even bringing some of the people back, we were grounding them a little bit more in the new world, in this world that we have that is feels a little more real in there. And I will say, I think that Ash kind of got that snarky edge that you had somewhere in XY, because he got a little bit, seemed a little bit older for a little while, and then he came back, and I think that that kind of he started creeping into new emotions that he hadn't had before, like frustration.
It opened the floodgates for me, though.
Like those angst.
Yes, you got a little angsty.
We got angsty. Yeah.
I like snarky Ash. I say we keep snarky Ash for sure.
I remember once getting direction from you, Lisa, and we sent it. Oh, no, I think one of the producers was on the line with us, or even in the room with us before the pandemic. And they said, there he is. There's our Ash. And I was like, really? That's our Ash? Okay.
Yeah.
That was a little bit Bart Simpson, but okay.
It evolved. Go has some good moments like that too.
Great question, Brandon. Let's go ahead and get into the next question here. This is from Da. What would be your ultimate dream role, be it voice acting or any other media?
I want to play Mama Rose on Broadway, but I think that'll only happen if I get really, really famous away from Broadway. And then they're like, okay, you'll sell tickets. That's my dream. It's the tough
Mama
one.
Mama Rose?
Yeah, Mama Rose and Gypsy.
So cool, Sarah. I love that.
Funny story. Mom, I found musical theater and theater at the library. And so when I was in second grade, I was singing Mama Rose's breakdown song in our talent show.
That's amazing.
I was like, this is the song that I like.
I want to I was like doing Martha's similarly, like an older character that was, I wasn't, you know, ready to go into. I remember doing Edward Albee's Martha in Hello, Somebody Help Me.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Thank you. Yeah, I remember working on her monologue. I was more of a honey, right? Which is the other role, but I didn't want to be honey. I wanted to be Martha. And that was like foreshadowing for my future career. I never wanted to be who I was, because I was like, I like me, I'm cool, whatever, it's good. But like, I'm interested in diving into someone else's brain, you know? So
see, I think
interested in those older roles from a young age.
See, I think that's why I was like, you know, I was in junior high and like high school, I get to college and they were like, they didn't put me into honey. They put me into Martha. They were like, here, you can be Martha. You can be this, you can do that. And I think that's why I wanted to do animation, because I was like, I can be a child. Awesome. Do you have a role, Erica?
I used to say Julie in Carousel just because the music, but drama wise, it doesn't do that much for me. And also the songs of Maria and West Side Story, but those are not really dreams for me anymore. I would say like, I mean, my favorite thing to do is to create a role from the ground up. And I used to do readings and workshops and musicals in New York all the time. And I miss that. So I guess I want to create something new. In terms of voiceover, I would love to have a role on a recurring role on Scooby-Doo. And I just really have always wanted that. And I would also love to play Wonder Woman, because who wouldn't? I don't know. Just an iconic role. I think we would all love to step those shoes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I had always dreamed of a She-Ra from when I was a kid.
Yes!
That series came out was amazing. But the stuff that I've, a lot of stuff that I've been watching besides stuff for younger kids that I really enjoyed is like the Castlevania type stuff and like Dota and things like that. Like I've been watching that and it's really, really cool. That's kind of grounded stuff that I'm looking into now.
Nice.
Those are all possibilities. You can all make them happen, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Erica, I was going to say, what about Wonder Woman making an appearance on Scooby-Doo?
That would be amazing. Whoa. That's a fantastic idea. Let's make it happen.
All right. I mean,
those meddling kids, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Random people are always making appearances on Scooby-Doo. Like, it's possible.
I can have two dreams in one. I'll take it.
All right, let's jump into the next question. This is from Carrie. What Pokemon region is your favorite?
Oh, that's so hard, because it's like picking a favorite child. But do you have, you guys have?
I do. Yeah, Alola is mine.
That's what I was gonna say.
It's paradise. Yeah. There's so diverse, and it's, you know, what you can do there. I like that.
Yeah,
we had our top.
I love that they were in school.
Yeah.
We learned. Kakui was a good teacher.
Yeah. But I also loved playing Sandy, the Eevee, and that's where Sandy came from. And so I just love those scenes they wrote. I love that they explored. That was the beginning for me, and from my perspective, but Lisa and Sarah, you would know this way more than me, because I come in and I pepper the Pokemon throughout. But it felt like there was more story and less battling. Am I making that up? I mean,
there was a lot of battling, but I think there was a lot of character and a lot of family story. And you had a lot of, like, I think everybody I think it was the largest traveling party that we had, because they didn't travel. They kind of stayed in the same area. So I think you got to know them all a little bit more.
More character development, right? And like moments to get to know the character under a microscope a little bit more is what it felt like to me. But I don't know what it felt like to you guys.
I think like other arcs and other regions have had that. It's just been in a different way. I just think that they were always active and traveling out. And I think everybody being in one spot, got them to really be able to explore their dynamics and with their family and with like, and with, I don't know. I loved the whole Kukui story. So that was a big thing for me.
I also think with the Alola region, it really opened up more of Pokemon in terms of, you know, we were seeing the Alolan version, certain Pokemon, you know, Alolan Raichu and stuff like that. And so it really kind of opened up the Pokemon world more. and seeing that, oh, these Pokemon can be in other regions and have other forms. And of course, now we're seeing it with Galar as well. So I think Alola was definitely a big turning point for Pokemon in general and what direction it could go in. So I would agree that Alola is a fantastic region. That was a good question, by the way. Next one. This is from Alex. What were some of your favorite moments when you did the show?
Within the show, yeah.
I have a couple.
There's an episode, it's episode 1928. Remember that because it's my grandma's birth year. It's a 1928. I always forget what the title is, but it's an episode where so many things happen. Mostly Ash rescued a Pokemon out of a tree. I need to refer back to this a little bit because I've forgotten what happens now, but he rescues a Pokemon out of a tree. And there's another episode where a Pokemon passes away, and that's an incredibly dramatic, very sad moment. And yeah, those are my like, oh, and the first episode of the Alola region where Ash gets to go on stage and perform. And Jesse gives the best performance. Michelle Knotts gave the best performance ever as Jesse in that episode. It's
the very school play. Yeah, the school play of the second
season. Oh, awesome.
Not the best, the best. Yeah, those are the ones that come to mind. I should review them.
I remember a couple different episodes that come to mind. Amora and Aurorus. That episode hit me emotionally because the like mother-daughter dynamic, for lack of a better word, which when Team Rocket took one and I can't remember if it was, I'm mixing them up, Amora and Aurorus. One of them is here. But that hit me emotionally and like made me very, I don't know. And then I love the introduction of Tapu Koko. Just loved exploring that voice with Lisa and discovering that character. And then some other favorite moments were Bianca and running into Ash, and Ash always like falling into a body of water. Just so ditzy, but also lovable and fun and crazy she was. And the scenes with her and the muscle Pokemon have always baffled me. Very interesting moments.
Yeah.
But those are a couple of my favorites. Lisa?
There are so many. It's hard. There's obviously the Litten episode where that one meant a lot to me when it lost its master over there. And that was beautiful. But they change. And I like them sometimes for different reasons than other people. I like to follow a story arc to the end. So when you get your payoff, it's really fun. I loved the Kukui episodes. They're not even ones that I was necessarily in. Oh, no, I was, because I was fighting in the wrestling ring. So Litten fighting in the wrestling ring. Anything that had to do with Litten and wrestling and Kukui was amazing. But I don't want to do any spoilers. But when Kukui shows up to the wrestling ring with the masked royal and they both have to be in the same place at the same time, it was a comedy of errors that was great. And I was waiting this whole time because his poor wife, I'm like, just tell her who you are. This was because he had his secret identity. And so he was running back and forth. I love secret identity stuff like that. So that was one of my, so he's like running, Kukui's up in the stands, but he has to wrestle. So he's running down the stairs and he has to come back and his wife is getting more and more annoyed. Burner, she's getting more annoyed, so it's just very funny.
It's
love
like
that
Media del Arte, a lot of that stuff, right?
yeah well that's one of the things that I love, and one of the backgrounds that I try to bring to it is that, but yeah, so those are very good. There's a lot of really great episodes in this season too, obviously, like people coming back, but there's actually one of the first episodes of Journeys. One of the things that I really liked is there's a scene with Ash and Go, and they're just talking about their different philosophies towards Pokemon. And it's the Bulbasaur episode in the beginning where they find the Bulbasaur and Ash is like, I'm going to go in and help it. And Go is like, you have to leave it alone. Mm-hmm. And things like that sort of, they make me very, they. I think it's very cool. I love to follow the different characters on their journeys. So that.
Yeah.
But the wrestling ones got me.
Are you a wrestling fan? Is that why, or is it just
not like I won't do that because I don't want people to throw rocks at me because I don't know all the things that are happening now. I used to watch when I was younger, and I'll watch every once in a while. But I love the drama of it. So yes, so I watched Glow? A bunch of stuff. What? I was a Glow? Huge Glow fan. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah,
that show.
Oh, Glow! Yeah,
when that was canceled, I was like, why?
So yes.
Yeah, I'm a wrestling fan as well, and I always love the storyline of everything, you know. And I like the wrestling, but it's the storyline, just all the drama that goes on with it. I absolutely love it, so I can relate to you on that.
A little, just because I came from like old school. I used to watch when I came up when we were making the voice for that with the voice actor who's Abe, who's amazing. He had to make up the wrestling voice, so he came up with something else, and I was like, "Why don't you try something?" And then I did my best translation of Rowdy Roddy Piper, and that, and so he took that and ran, and that's how we got his voice.
You remember Superfly Snuka by any chance, Lisa?
No, it's Superfly Snuka.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Superfly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I liked him. I thought he was pretty cool.
Someone's saying, can we hear this Roddy Piper impression?
I can only do it with the lines because it was just like, it's probably going to come into like, I don't even remember because I was like, questions are good. I can't do it. I can't do it right now. It was spontaneous and in the moment. Maybe at the end. At the end.
All right. Maybe. If everything goes as planned here. Okay.
Yeah. I got to listen to a ref first.
I got it.
Not a referee, but a reference.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, that's true. Yeah. let's go ahead and jump into the next question. This is from Jean. Do you have a favorite voice actor that has given you inspiration?
I have one.
There are so many.
I don't know if this is my favorite, but I love Pat Carroll, who is Ursula.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I found out years later when I was watching reruns of, like, I bought the DVDs, all the Garfield, the old Garfield, to show my kids because I'm a Garfield fan. And we were watching Garfield's grandma, and I was like, oh, my God, that character has the most amazing laugh. Like, it was just this really vivacious and big, incredible laugh. And I was like, who is that? So I Googled it. And lo and behold, it's freaking Pat Carroll again. So for some reason, her voice and her performance and her acting does something to me. Here. Stomach, you know, just like, I love her. So she's one for me.
Well, I mean, there are so many. I'm mostly inspired by on-camera actors, especially on-camera actors who came from voice acting, like Hank Azaria. He started voice acting and built this wonderful career. Cray Summers, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Who else? I mean, Kevin Klein is like one of my favorite actors, and
he's
Robin Williams and Jim Carrey. And I mean, there are so many. Yeah. There's no one actor that I ever became like obsessed with, and like I've studied a lot of careers, but there's not like one person that I'm like, this is who I'm gonna be, because you know, you plan, God laughs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta kind of you know, try to carve a niche out for yourself and see where it takes you.
I think it's there's like Sarah, there's so many people and there's so many regular actors who had inspired me, and there's so much of the animation that I grew up watching. So one of the two shows that I was a huge fan of when I was growing up are G.I. Joe and Transformers. So I was I used to watch them all the time, and I was in love with the voice of Starscream and also Cobra Commander, who I did find out that the same actor played both of them. And I believe that is Charlie Adler. And I got to take class with him, and it was really amazing. So that was my moment of geeking out, because I was like, I didn't say anything in class though. I didn't say anything. I was just like, it's very cool. And I think that's also one of the things, is that there are so many people who have been working for so long, like Steve Bloom and a lot of people who are so wonderful. So it's sometimes it's less about it's about the roles that you see. You'll see someone do something and then you're like, wow, that's really amazing.
Right.
Yeah. Meeting Samantha Newark was cool. Gem and the Holograms.
Oh my gosh.
Meeting Samantha a couple years ago at a convention. I was like, wow, like, I love you. And she's like the sweetest person in the world, you know?
I've
interviewed her before, and she's very bright and bubbly. Like, it's almost like you're interviewing Jim. It really is. So, but yeah, those are all great inspirations. Like you said, it's hard to pick one person because you take a little bit from everybody,
right?
Yeah. And you kind of mix it all in a little bit of a pot and, you know, get your inspiration from that. So, and Jim Carrey just had a birthday too, right? Okay. Jim Carrey just, you said Jim Carrey earlier. So yeah, Jim Carrey had a birthday.
don't know any of the actors. Yes. Well, know their birthdays.
I just saw it randomly.
It like pops up in my feed. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Harkening back to the Transformers comment, I just want to say the Transformers ride at Universal Studios is like one of my favorites, and it's because of the voiceover. Like, it is so freaking good. The sound in that ride is what makes it. So everyone has got to go. Yeah.
Where is the Transformers ride?
Universal
Studios. In California.
Okay. Yeah. You have got
to check that out.
Yeah.
All right. Bucket list.
Oh yeah.
Or we just all take a field trip right now. Let's just all go right now. All right.
Let's do it.
Next question. This is from Avery. If you could come up with a new Pokemon type, what would it be?
Oh.
A new Pokemon type.
I would say a werewolf type or a zombie type.
A tornado type.
Oh, an that's
extreme,
cool.
Extreme weather type.
You guys are better than me. I'm more like the new Pokemon type would be the help me clean my apartment type.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't just be Mr. Mime. There you go.
A whole
Mime is so
just everybody.
A Snow White and the Seven Dwarves type.
Yeah.
The house is clean.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I didn't mean to mix properties.
It's fine. It happens.
You all had very fast answers on that one, so I feel like you.
I was growing. I mean, you know, there's so many possibilities. It's one of the most creative things that ever came down from someone's brain.
Do you think there is room for another type? I mean, because we do have a lot of types right now. Do you think introducing a new type?
But like, unless it's going to be some kind of like legendary or like have extra superpowers. We do have kind of, you got earth, wind, fire and water all covered and rock and ghost.
Grass.
So grass. Yeah.
Psychic.
So, I mean, what would they do? What could like, cause now you've got also the ones flipping their properties depending
quartz.
On what region they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Quartz type.
Gem type Pokemon.
They flip houses. They renovate and flip houses. They're really
gem type would be fun, actually, because then they could go by zodiac signs and stuff.
Yes.
Ooh, right? You might be onto something there with that. Yeah.
What, you didn't like my extreme weather Pokemon? You don't think I'm onto something with that?
It was good. It might need a little work.
You got tornado Pokemon. You got a hurricane Pokemon. You got tsunami Pokemon. You got underwater volcano Pokemon.
See, once again, I don't think parents should let their children play with these particular Pokemon. It's like cataclysmic Pokemon.
I mean, we do have some weather Pokemon right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm just, you know, okay. Well, I try. Okay. All right, let's jump into the next one here. This is from James. If you were a gym leader, which type would you specialize in?
Extreme weather Pokemon.
Now that's what we call a callback.
It was very quick, very extreme.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe fairy type, just for fun.
That's fun. I go psychic type.
I'd be a fire type too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now what would be your main go-to Pokemon of each of those types?
Charizard. I'm old school. I'll just go straight to Charizard and my Litten. And
is Sylveon a fairy type?
Yeah.
Help me out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at that. I played more bird Pokemon than any other species. Too much.
That's
though.
True.
Oh, Medicham. That was a psychic type Pokemon that I played on the show.
So okay.
I'm going to go with Medicham because I know it the best.
All right. So going with Medicham there. All right. Next up, we got Roslyn. How did you get your first voice acting roles?
This was my first voice acting role. I got it through a manager. I auditioned. Well, I studied acting. It didn't happen by accident.
Right.
I studied acting, studied improv. I hunted for representation all over New York. And this manager sent me on the audition. And there was a callback process. And they picked me. Very cool.
That's so awesome.
That's unbelievable. First role.
It was my first role.
My first role was, this is the funny thing, someone can tell me Rena or Reina in Ultraman Tiga. The reason why I say Rena or Reina is that it was Rena for like 6 episodes, and then we had to go back in and change it to Reina, or vice versa. And I can never remember which one, but she was one of the leads, and she was like the ingenue type, the sort of, I would call her like more of like a Nurse Joy type. She was the one who had, she was grounded, and she was like the ingenue, I guess, of the piece. She wasn't like, Megan Hollingshead was the like tough chick in it, and she was so freaking good. Watching it, I had to do a cameo like years later that I had to watch the episodes to figure out how to say my name. And I was like, recalled it. And I thought when I was doing it that it was kind of like, no offense, like mediocre. Like we towed the line. We didn't go far enough, or we didn't I felt we didn't go far enough in either direction. But upon watching it back, I was like, oh my God, yes. We hit it right straight on where it needed to be. And Megan's performance was part of that for me. But yeah. Lisa?
My first role was Deedlet in Lotus War. I had come in, it was the first time I'd ever auditioned for an animation. I was still in school. And I always tell the story of how my brother stole my car.
I love this story.
One of my brothers stole my car. I was home from school. I had mono. My car had mono, so it didn't go very far. But my brother wanted to take my car. So he's like, can I borrow your car? And I was like, no, don't touch my car. But at the time, we kept our keys downstairs. He took my car. And because it had mono, it died. Okay, because the battery didn't work.
Oh my God.
And so he calls, and I'm like, where's my car? And he's like, I don't know, it's at George's house. So he hangs up. I don't know who George is. So the next person who called was a friend of mine, Rob Taylor, who I still know to this day. And he's like, and I'm like, do you know who George is? He's like, yeah, sure. I get into the car with him, wind up talking about all this stuff. And he turns to me at one point, and he's like, hey, do you know anybody who might want to audition for this anime stuff?
Or Rob said this. So sorry.
Rob did. Okay. And he's like, this anime stuff. He was working at a place called Central Park Media at the time. And I was studying theater. I was doing musical theater. I was doing a whole bunch of different stuff. And I was like, well, you know, there's me. And I went in for, that was the first audition that I went to in New York City. It was a little while ago. And I wound up booking 2 of the roles that were in the show, but they didn't know who I was. So they put me in the role of Deedlet. So it was one of the mains in that show. And then from there, most of the work that I booked were people coming into my sessions, because I wasn't really sure how to navigate the whole thing. And were people coming into my sessions and asking me to work on other projects. So that's how I started. But I was classically trained. I was studying theater. I was doing musical theater. And that was most of what my background was. And I kept working from there. And that's my story. It started with theft.
I love that story.
It started with auto theft.
It's my favorite beginning BO story ever. No one can top that one. Sorry.
My origin story. And my other brother became a police officer. So those are the things. Wow.
So if there was not theft involved, you might not be sitting here right now.
That's very true. Yes. So crime between
crime
siblings
pays
is not, it paid no one. It paid no one, but even bad situations can lead to opportunity. See how I turned that around?
Put a positive spin on it.
You can come back into the room now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Even bad experiences can lead to positive.
Don't steal your sibling's car. It will just lead to rage. It won't lead to a career.
We got just a few more minutes left here. So let's try to get through a couple more questions. Next up, this is from Sam. If you could have any Pokemon in real life, which one would it be?
Oh, gosh.
Snorlax.
Where would you put it, though? Where would you put it? It's in the Pokeball. In the Pokeball. So.
Snorlax is free. Snorlax goes wherever Snorlax goes.
That's true.
Free Snorlax.
I don't know. This is like a mood question, isn't it? Like, what mood are you in right now?
That's a good point.
Get an Eevee, and your kids love Eevee.
Yeah. Eevee, maybe Sobble, just because I could comfort Sobble.
Aww.
I don't know. I'm good at comforting people, so I don't know. And Sobble could maybe make me invisible sometimes with him, with it, I should say. Yeah. And that could be fun to be invisible sometimes.
Yeah.
Good points.
See, I would always say, like, I would say Lytton, but I would be scared that it would light my home on fire. So because I think about things very practically. And also when it grew up, it would, it's like a thundercat in your house. It's like huge. But I always say my go-to is Charizard, just because I want to do what Kiawe did in the Alola region and ride it into work every day. Like that would be great.
Oh, that's a good thought. We should pick a flying Pokemon so we can
Flying type. You could get, I could just go visit home a lot easier.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Has to fly, yeah.
Which Tapu did you voice again? Tapu V, which one?
Oh, Tapu Fini.
Fini. I was gonna say Vini. Tapu Vini.
Tapu Vini.
Is it Tapu Tapu the one?
That's fine. Nobody said Psyduck. It's okay.
Oh, Psyduck is awesome.
That's for you. That's for you.
That's Shane. For you. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Why don't you answer any questions?
Well, it's not.
I know.
Me.
We should
it's
be asking you questions. What are we doing here?
Nobody said Mr. Mime. I thought for sure somebody was going to say Mr. Mime, you know, with the cleaning and all that stuff.
it's a pantomime. I need someone to talk to. And eventually I'd be like, Mr. Mime, why?
Why?
I guess the mime would work.
All right, let's go into the next one. This is from Boris the Animal. What other animated series would you like to see have a crossover with Pokemon?
Ooh. Wonder Woman, the show.
Yeah, like, I would love, that would be so cool. Or like the Teen Titans, like I would love them to show up and just be.
yeah, there you go.
Run around with their power and be like, we have Pokemon to do that.
We don't. Wait, what? Our real monsters?
Ooh.
I mean, it would be really cool to have Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon have a crossover just because so many of the cast members are the same. And it could be really fun to just kind of like, I don't know. Right? It could be fun to have battles that, like, if the Pokemon rules are the Pokemon rules for the Pokemon people and then the Yu-Gi-Oh! Rules are the rules for the Yu-Gi-Oh! People, it could lead to a lot of hilarity, I think, with the cards.
But how cute would it be if we did Rugrats and Pokemon? And the Rugrats were trainers.
That would be cute.
That would be adorable.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh,
who found that?
Scooby-Doo.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's amazing.
Well, obviously, that's something I would want to see.
That's awesome.
Obviously.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
All right. This is from Stevie B. If you were to be a contestant on a game show, past or present, what would you like to be on?
Wheel of Fortune.
I don't know. I get very nervous. I don't like being timed. So anything that did involve time, which is nothing, right?
Nothing. No, the shows are half hour. So.
Right? But are there things, everything's timed,
everything's
right?
timed. Yeah. Sorry.
I wouldn't.
In a timed world.
Yeah.
Yes, to it.
But I want to be. What was the show? Was that not Match Game? Match Game was the other. It's like the old show where there was like they look like the Brady Bunch boxes and people just.
Oh,
like
Hollywood
commented.
Squares.
Yeah, Hollywood Squares. Yeah, that's what I would want to be in.
What was the one where they guess people's identity and you have to pretend to be that person? I did the reenactment for it for the celebration of this of it. I got to be Phyllis Newman. Oh my God! That's a throwback. But they brought it back. They brought it back. It's back on.
My,
I don't even know the name of it.
I don't know the name. New.
One I like.
The other one that I would want to be on was Double Dare.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'd want to be on the show with the Crag. Oh, Legends of the Hidden Temple. I think I'm too old for it now. I think they only take kids, but if
No, there's an adult version now.
I'm going on that show. Yeah. And I'm going on Wheel of Fortune. I tweeted at Wheel of Fortune because I'm playing Wordle. I tweeted at Wheel of Fortune and they liked it.
Ooh, okay, so we might be onto something here.
Mm-hmm. I'm basically on Wheel of Fortune.
You're basically already.
Yeah, I think they should do like a voice actor edition.
Wheel of Fortune would be fun because like it's not super hard, right?
Very hard.
But it's also time too. So
last words.
Negative
$2,000. You walk away owing them money.
I think we all just want to do the Pokemon spelling bee for the rest of our lives. Yeah, that was so stressful preparing for that.
Oh my God, yeah.
Sarah and Lisa and I studied our butts off. I mean, I studied like crazy.
I studied.
My kids are like, Mom, calm down. I'm like, I gotta get it right. I was just like, I can't get out in the first round. That was my thing. I was like, yeah. No.
I was like, I can't get out of there at all. I have to, like, I've been on the show for you. You've been on the show for how long? Like,
make sure I still shake my fist because it was, I didn't know how a certain thing was pronounced. And so I couldn't. And it was like, after I misspelled it, I was like, well, no, when it was said, I had never heard it said out loud because I only read it. And it wasn't like no one voiced it. It was the original Japanese voice. And afterwards, it was like, I forget which one it was. But after they said it, I was like, oh, I just saw that one in last week's episode. I know how to spell that. And then I hung my head in shame.
Oh, no shame, no shame.
Is there going to be another one?
Oh, we got to do it. We got to do it again.
Yeah, we should.
We should.
I don't know that I have the time to study like that again.
Huh?
I said, I don't know that I have the time to study like that again.
Oh, don't study. You're fine.
Yeah, yeah. Just wing it. Just go right into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'll do another one. We'll build on the knowledge and we'll remember. That's what
I'm sure you remember.
I was going to say a game show that I really loved that I always wanted to be part of was Supermarket Sweep.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I just wanted to run through the aisles and just grab stuff off the shelf. All right. One more question and then we got to head out here.
Okay.
This is from Harry. Have you ever played the Pokemon video games? If so, which is your favorite?
Pokemon Go.
I mean, that's the only one I ever played for like 10 minutes with Lisa Ortiz and we caught a Doduo together. It was exciting.
It's amazing.
But I don't play video games. I know that's weird. I've voiced an over like 50 of them, but I don't play video games.
I don't really play video
games. I only want to die once.
I haven't played the latest, but I did play Snap and I played Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah.
And
how was that?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I was playing Pokemon Go to the point, but then it's like after a while I'm like, oh, I'm catching things and then I'm going to work and telling other people to catch them and then I'm like, I should probably take a break. So now I stay on my island.
Yes.
I played with my son for a little bit too. He was into it for a little while and that was fun.
I caught a Magikarp at the US Open.
Oh, that's cool.
It was
that's
on cool. the court. It was
what? That is cool.
You did a TikTok of that, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
One was brag when something like that happens. was an achievement. That's
bragging. Pokemon Go is so nice because it's like you can get that quick, you know, like 10-minute fix of a video game and, you know, and then put it down. So I'm with you. I like Pokemon Go.
Turn it on right now.
Well, yeah, what's around you right now?
What's around me right now? We got.
Are we really going to find out? Are you turning it on right now? For real? I think we were so close to the end here.
So close.
I think we lost. Maybe we lost Sarah
for just a minute. You'll come back though.
Oh, there she is. Oh. Pick up the wire. I took a Wi-Fi. I'm done.
Okay, there you are. There you are.
Okay. Yay. All right. So we'll just pretend there's another Magikarp. Well, thank you all so much. Thank you all so much for being here today. Obviously, everybody watching and myself included, we all appreciate all the time and hard work you've put into Pokemon and other franchises as well. But, you know, Pokemon is near and dear to our hearts. So thank you for all the memories. And I know there's going to be plenty more. So I love you all. Oh, you all are fantastic. So.
It's so nice having you again.
It's an honor to be able to talk to you. Literally childhood dream. You know, I try my best not to freak out, you know, in situations like this. Everyone, I hope you have a fantastic Sunday and we'll see you all next time.